If you're a future Libby lawyer, there's an exciting step I'm guessing you haven't taken yet. What is it? Figuring out the type of badass lady lawyer you should be. How do you do that? Well, let us tell you.
A longtime friend of the podcast and kick-ass new lawyer coach, Angela Borpal, has put together a free What Type of Lawyer Should I Be quiz. This is a 90-second quiz designed to reveal the type of law that will best fit your interests, career goals, and lifestyle. Can I get a yes, please? So, don't wait another second. Go to whattypeoflawyerquiz.com to take the first step towards your dream future lawyering life. And then make sure and send us a DM on Instagram to let us know what type of lawyer you got. We can't wait to nerd out over it with you.
Calling all zero L's starting law school this fall 2023. Are you tired of hearing the same old advice that there's nothing you can do to prepare for law school? We feel you and we've got you.
An awesome friend and supporter of the podcast, Angela Borpal, is hosting her signature free 1L masterclass all about the actions to take right now to set yourself up for the grades you want 1L year.
Angela graduated in the top 1% of her law school class and is a master of law school grade strategy. So trust us when we say you are not going to want to miss this juicy masterclass.
Check it out at www.1lmasterclass.com/join and grab your free spot before they fill up. And of course, that link will be in the show notes.
Hey guys, and welcome back to Ladies Who Law Podcast. I'm Haley.
And I'm Sam.
And this week, we have a special episode on Women's History Month. We want to talk about women in the law because that's what we do here, guys. So we are going to share with you some statistics and a survey that we read from the ABA and just kind of summarize it for you. So, you know, of course, you guys don't have to read it because we all know law students and attorneys don't always have a lot of time to read extra stuff. So here it goes.
So just to break it down for any of you that maybe don't even know what the ABA is, it's the American Bar Association. And every few years, they come out with a lot of resources for attorneys and law students. They have mental health resources. Basically, they are the people that make sure that the bar associations across the U.S. are acting like they should. And of course, they get a lot of data. And, you know, they had an article called Women in the Legal Profession. And it's not really an article. It's more like a study where they just present a lot of data on the demographics of women in law firms, women in law schools. Also, it touches on the fact that women leave the law. I mean, we all know that women leave the law more than their male counterparts. So it was interesting to see the exact numbers, because sometimes it doesn't hit you like that there is a disparity until you actually look at the numbers.
Absolutely.
And of course, when you see it, I mean, we'll talk about it more in depth here in a second, but I would love to know your guys' thoughts, after you listen to this episode and maybe share with us like what you think that law schools and law firms should be doing to lessen the gap between these numbers.
Yeah, I love it. Good call to action there, Samantha. I love it. Okay, so we're going to just break down the different parts of this study and kind of summarize it for you guys and share what we learned. So first things first, the overall demographics of women in law and different positions in the law. And we're even going to talk about women in law school too. So it's pretty cool. So again, like Samantha said, this was based on an ABA National Lawyer Population Survey. And so they do, you know, it's probably like the email that we all get like, hey, fill out the survey and tell us a little bit about yourself and what kind of law you do and things like that.
Yes. And I do believe that for some of this data, the pool that they were serving from was a group of 1,200 lawyers, women and men, all in like top 100 firms.
Yeah. And I'm just, probably all over the country, huh? So first things first, it was just kind of crazy to me because I was looking at the statistics and it gives it from the 50s all the way to current day. So I just want to go ahead and start with the way back in the gap. Okay. The 50s to the 70s, only 3% of women were in law.
Okay. So does that mean like lawyers, law students, like everybody combined is just 3%?
It's just 3% in the law in general for three decades or maybe two decades, 50, 60, 70, three decades. But then in the 80s, it jumps to 8%. In the 90s, it makes its biggest jump to 20%. And then slowly in 2000, 2010, 20s, it kind of grows, but not as much as it did that one jump, right? And in the early 2000s, 29%, the 2010s, 31%, and now in 20s, we're at 38%. And so whenever we talk about some of these numbers, I want you to think about how there's 38% of women in law, like you mentioned, in all these different areas and so on. So when we talk about different places, like where they are in law school or where they are in the firm and how the percentage works out, we want to kind of think about that 38% and say, okay, that's the overall average. So is it higher than that? Is it lower than that in these different areas? So with that being said, federal judges. Now, this is crazy, you guys. It makes me excited to talk about this stuff and see the growth over time because it really does show that women are knocking on the door and we're walking in and it's happening. So 1928, first woman appointed federal judge, first. 1950s, okay, there was only three.
Okay, I will say, sorry to interrupt.
No, you're fine.
I will say 1928 sounds pretty early to have a woman judge.
Absolutely.
I feel like at the time, that was probably like, oh my God.
She was probably just a straight baddie. Okay, but then think about this. Okay, so just like you said, which I totally agree with you, that's like pretty awesome. You know, you're like, wow, Haley, like that was right after the Great Depression, right after we got the chance to vote, the first woman. Okay, yeah. But 1950s, there was only three federal judges, women.
So literally, like in the 30 years in between then, they literally only had one, maybe two.
Yeah, the whole time,
like,
right?
What the hell?
Yeah, it never really grew. And it kind of mirrors the statistics of women in law, right? Very low, not many. Okay. 1980s, we have 46 women, only 46, not 46%, just 46 women as federal judges. And that's in comparison to the 8% of women that were in the law. So again, it's not high.
And do we know how many, just generally, how many federal judges, like how many positions there are in total? So like for that comparison.
So I think it grows over time. Like I feel like in the beginning it was a little less, but I'm going to give you the statistic and I think this will answer your question. So now, there are over 420 federal judges that are women, and that makes up 1/3 of all federal judges' positions. So basically around 33%. So if you do 3 times 4, 24, yeah, that's
like
a lot.
And something.
Something,
yeah.
Right? So,
okay.
But then 30%. So now we're going back to that 38% that we discussed. And it makes you think, okay, so we're moving in the right direction here, guys. I'm liking this, you know? That was something that really caught my eye. I was like, okay, wow. 2022, 424 federal judges are women. Like, yes, that's awesome. So, but it's higher in state Supreme Courts. 41% of those positions are held by women. So we're even higher in state Supreme Court. So just had to throw that in there because, you know, those are important positions. We talk about that sometimes. And if we haven't, and you know, you didn't really know, I mean, judges' roles in the court system and the justice system is huge. So it's important to be represented there.
And I will say, like, even being in court and seeing female judges now, like, I've seen female judges get talked down to, get attitude.
Yeah.
You know, so there's even if they are in those positions, like it there's still a lot of work that needs to be done.
Exactly. Yes. Good
just
point.
In general, in the legal field, just from personal experience, it's like crazy, guys. Like when you go out into the real world and like go sit in a female judge's courtroom for a few hours, and you'll see the kind of stuff that they deal with.
We'll be right back.
Hey guys, we want to take a moment to talk about something that has been a game changer for us busy lawyers, Audible.
Yes, Audible has been our go-to platform for incredible audiobooks, offering an extensive library of thrillers, nonfiction, autobiographies, and mysteries.
And guess what? We've got a special treat for you. Audible is offering a free trial to our listeners, and all you need to do is check the link in the show notes. It's the perfect opportunity to experience the magic of audiobooks without spending a dime.
Speaking of thrillers, I know you are currently hooked on Never Lie by Freda McFadden. Samantha, can you tell us a little bit about it?
Absolutely. The twists and turns in Never Lie have kept me on the edge of my seat during the workday and even when I'm on my daily walks. It's like having a suspenseful companion wherever I go.
And for those looking for some financial wisdom, I have been engrossed in My Money, My Way by Kamuku Love. It's packed with practical advice on managing finances, perfect for anyone trying to navigate the complexities of money management.
What we love most is the flexibility Audible offers. As lawyers, our schedules can be unpredictable, but with Audible, we can enjoy our favorite books on the go, whether we're stuck in traffic, hitting the gym, or waiting for a court hearing.
So, if you're ready to embark on a literary journey and discover the joys of audiobooks, click the link in the show notes to start your free trial with Audible. Trust us, you won't want to miss out on this fantastic offer.
Yeah, the microaggressions and just the way people
like look. That one time, remember, mm-hmm. I told you within, like that lawyer was like, do you know how to read or something? Like, yes. What?
That's immediately what I thought about when you said that. I was thinking like, oh Lord.
And you, that was imprinted in my brain.
Yeah. And you said she handled it so well. And it's probably because it wasn't her first time to experience that. Which sucks, but
in a little bit, we'll talk more about women in the workplace and the kinds of things that they deal with. So give us a few minutes. We'll get there.
Okay. So the next part of the study talks about women in law firms. So if there's 38% of women and there's more women graduating from law school every year, you might expect the women in leadership roles to mirror that amount, right? But guys, it's so much lower. So there's a few different leadership roles, and I had to look this up, and of course I asked ChatGPT like, what exactly is this? So I'm just going to give you a little play-by-play. But for equity partners, an equity partner is a law firm partner who owns a share in the firm, and they usually have a pretty big amount of say in how the firms run and who's involved in the decision-making process. Okay. So in 2012, there was 15% of women held equity partner positions. In 2020, it was 22%. Again, remember, we're at 38%. I know. And these are the people making them. I mean, I just think about it in the law firm aspect. And I think about how they're so, I don't know what other word to use, but retro. Like, that's the word that comes to mind.
Well,
is like,
I think
so
you'll
behind.
Definitely see, when we talk about, like I said, we're in the workplace when, yeah. and like why they leave, I can... It all makes sense, right? Like the way that some people are treated. And also women are not put into leadership positions as much as men.
Yeah.
We already know that. So I wonder, that's probably the whole entire reason that gap has, I mean, it hasn't grown barely anything.
No. And listen to this one. Managing partner. Okay. Managing partner is a partner at the law firm who is responsible for the overall management and strategic direction of the firm. It's usually one person, and they're often elected by their peers and serve a term. Okay. Managing partner, as of 2020, only 12% of women held the managing partner role at the firm. And remember what you said, this, who was surveyed for this? These are top firms. These are big money makers. These are the people that you know, it's a trickle down effect. The way things happen at the top at the biggest firms, it goes down and so on. And that is extremely low.
And it weirds me out to think that, what, 100 minus 12 is what, 88? So like 88% are men?
Yeah. So it's like probably...
That's almost 100.
Yeah. I mean, it'd probably be like close to every 10 people you ask, only one would say they had a woman. And there's so many more...
I'm just quiet over here, but I'm just like shook.
I feel like there's so many more questions I have after that. Like, how is that one practice ran compared to those other nine? What does everyone say if we were just to ask those people? You know, there's so many questions come to my mind. Okay. So the other types of leadership roles are not necessarily as big of roles as equity partner or managing partner. But there are a few different leadership roles called the governance committee. I had never heard of that, but it's basically a law firm group of people who are responsible for overseeing and advising the firm on governance and policies, usually around, you know, compliance, regulatory things, as well as ethical type stuff. Okay. But the one key of this definition that jumped out to me was that this can be composed of partners, associates, or other staff members. So you don't even really have to be in a leadership position to be on this type of leadership position. So what the percentage of this is 28% as of 2020. So what I'm thinking is, of course they're putting people in these roles because they still have control over them in these roles. You know, you still have to go to the managing partner and present your governance committee data and ask for permission. So it wasn't surprising to me after learning what it was to know that it was a little higher, but also still just kind of almost in my mind, like a placeholder, like, okay, here you go. Here you go.
Yeah. It almost seems like, okay, let's just put them in this lower level management so they can shut up and like, yeah, that let them think that they have some say, you know, literally though. And yeah, I know that sounds very harsh, but like, I'm not kidding. A lot of these firms like do think like that.
Absolutely.
And we're not making that up.
No. I mean, the data points to it, you know?
The
evidence. Okay, so the last leadership role is a practice group leader, which is a senior attorney who is responsible for overseeing and managing a certain specific practice area. And this one is 28%, so very similar to the governance committee. You can see how they're also, okay, sure, you can be the employment law practice group leader. Sure, you can do this. You know, I'm not in a law firm that has different areas like that, so I can't speak to how it might be run. But again, I feel like it's exactly what you said. Here you go. Be quiet. Enjoy this. This is what you get for now. Okay, so in lower level positions at firms, the numbers are much higher. So in associate positions, 47% are women. In non-equity partner roles, it's 32%. I don't know what to think about that. I just feel like I'm not surprised.
But I will no. And I think it might be higher because there are more women in those positions naturally. An associate, like, you start off as an associate. You don't start off as a partner at places. Usually you're younger. I mean, if we're talking about the typical person who goes to law school and graduates,
yeah,
they're probably younger. Most likely, maybe they don't have a family yet. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they're just starting out.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. It's easier to keep these people in these positions. But when you start going up the ladder of seniority,
yeah,
that's when they're like, okay, like, we might not take the mom because, like, she's going to be in here 40 hours a week and not 60. So, mm-hmm.
And that's exactly, you know, probably what it is. And I'm really excited to hear the data about walking out the door and how it feels in the law firm. But with that being said, and I'm pay is probably another huge reason why women climb up the ladder and leave, because they're basically getting shit on. So listen to this. Associates make 95% of what their male counterparts make. Still not 100, but 95%. Okay. Non-equity partners, 95%. Equity partners make 78% of what their male counterparts in the same position make.
So does that mean, I guess in the math scheme of things, does that mean that they have like lesser shares, like a lesser chunk of the company? Like, how does that work?
So what I'm thinking is when you get paid out, or they only, maybe what you're asking is like, okay, well, you can buy 20%, but everyone else buys 25. This is what's offered to you. Or as the percentages get doled out, you get a smaller percentage because you're a 60% and then they get 75. You see what I'm saying? Something like that. Based on contract.
So I'm just wondering, like, you would think that if you're an equity partner, like everyone.
It'd be fair.
You would think. Okay.
But seven. Okay.
Sorry, me over here just getting like emotional over this stuff.
No, I mean, it's hard not to. And I also think about it too, is that means 78 cents for every dollar that they make is what you get. 78 cents for their dollar. When you think about it like that, you're like, that's a little
bit so rude.
It is. And it's sad because, again, going back to the equity partner, the owner in the firm, someone who helps manage this firm, doesn't get paid the same. It's just like, what are we doing here? So that is what I learned from all this data. And it was very captivating in, you know, just looking at the numbers and thinking, wow, I feel like this paints a picture and a story, even without, you know, actual accounts of how these women feel.
And I do think, like I said before, that like seeing the numbers just puts it into perspective of maybe like the experiences you've had at a law firm where you're like, is this common? You know, like, does this happen? And then you see these numbers and you're like, okay, maybe it's not just me. It's everywhere. There's a bigger systematic problem. Okay. Let's get into it. So we talked about women in law firms and the general demographics of women in the law, but obviously this is a podcast where a lot of you guys are law students. And since we've started the podcast, we've just like a little plug. We've helped a lot, maybe hundreds of you go into law school. And that makes us very happy that you guys are all increasing the percentage of women in law school. So let's share some of this data. So in 2021, 55.3% of incoming law students were women, which is super high because in 1964, it was only 4%. So 4% of women, so that approximately was like 877 women, 1Ls, in 1964 in the entire United States.
Wow.
So yeah, barely any. And that's in the 60s, you know?
Yeah, that was probably like the beginning of people's trying to go.
Right? So that's why I was honestly shook when you said like there was one federal judge in the 20s, because I'm like, oh my gosh, like if only 877 women in the 60s were in law school, like how'd that even happen? You know what I mean?
She was the one person, literally.
Yeah, like the one, literally. It's just crazy. And so for comparison, in 2021, there were 23,928 people in 1Ls that were women in law school.
Wow.
23,000, almost 24,000 actually. So it went from 800 to 24,000 since in 2021. I'm assuming it's even higher now in 2022. We don't have that data yet, but it seems to be going up every year. However, then when you look at the data of like going into law firms and all that kind of stuff, it doesn't seem like there are that many of these 1L graduates becoming the partner, the equity partner, the XYZ, you know?
It seems like they become associates, but they don't.
And then they
leave. Where do they go? They disappear.
And we've talked about this before, and we'll probably do an episode even more in depth, maybe have someone who's left the law and they can share their story, because there's just a lot of different reasons as to why people leave. But anyway, so in 2000, there was 48% of women. So then you look at it and you're like, well, from 2000 to 2021, it only went up like 6%.
Yeah.
You know, like not that much.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still like not growing as much, but it's growing. You know, it's just not the same.
And did you say it was 47% or in one else?
55 right now, 2021, 55% one else. But in the 60s, it was 4%. And in the 70s, it was 20%. And then in the 80s, it was 39%. So it's been climbing. You can tell, like, in the 90s especially, that's kind of like when women really started going to law school. However, it just doesn't get over that hump. And then, like, of the 50% hump until now, I'm wondering, is it because women are applying more? Like, are schools accepting more women? Like, there's a bunch of reasons, right, that women don't go or do not get in, right? So I think there's a lot more research that can be done into, like, the specifics of why the data is like this. But I just don't think there's a probably not enough people interested in to even do the research, honestly.
Well, yeah.
Because there's already not much research anyway, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think it's something to be said. So if we were just going to do male and female 50-50, we are on that brink of being half and half. But I think, and maybe what you're trying to say is, it needs to keep rising for, I feel like, to combat those other numbers that we talked about previously.
Because if, yeah, we can have, let's say, 60% of women in law school, but if they are not entering the workforce and staying in the workforce as lawyers
and trying to become equity partner.
Yeah. Like, if we're not letting that happen, like, people, then it might go backwards. People might not want to join the law, you know? And maybe people also realize, like, they get into law school, but then they realize, like, dang, the workforce is going to be tough on me because I'm a woman. And, like, I think you probably hit and get that feeling when you're applying for jobs and stuff as a law student. So yeah, there's a lot. But let's talk about deans. So in 2000, 10% of law school deans were women. We know we have over 200 law schools in the U.S., so just put that into perspective. In 2009, the percentage of deans rose to 21%.
Okay.
Now, as of July of 2022, 43% of all law school deans are women.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that is a pretty big jump. That was like
a
10% jump. And then within 20 years, it was a 30% jump.
Yeah. That was an effort, I feel like, to do that. Somebody tried. Yeah.
And also, I would like to see, like, I mean, I'm not disparaging men or anything. I would just like to know, like, the performance of law schools that have a woman dean versus a male dean, and kind of just look at those statistics, because I would like to see how that works out.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of deans, managing partners, leadership roles. We want to know
leadership.
How does it fare? How does it fare?
Because a lot of times, like, in some schools, like, the dean is, like, the face of the school and they're not really, like, doing much to help the students. But at other schools, like, they're very involved. So I would like to know, like, are the women more involved? Or do they have different things that they're trying to implement, right? Like, for example, at our school, there wasn't a great pregnancy policy. I'm wondering if a law school with a female dean might have a different outlook on that, you know, and, like, it'd be very quick to enact that because, like, they know personally what the struggles are, right?
I mean, in an ideal
world, I would think that that could happen. It's just something that I would like to dig deeper in. Like I said, a lot of this data could go so much deeper to give us more, but it's just not out there. With that being said, now that we know that law schools, they do have a great amount of women, but then they go into the workforce, and then we talked about the numbers and managing equity. Okay, so what about when they leave? Because we know that women leave the law more than men.
Yeah.
So this study that we went over, it interviewed 1,200 female and male attorneys, like I said before, And I just wanted to pull up these charts because it's a little easier to read them that way. And I'm just going to read some of these law firm policy percentage yes versus no. And essentially what I'll, how we'll play this game is I'll read the question and then I'll tell you how many women said yes and how many men said yes. Okay. And with the, each of these questions, you'll see kind of like the disparity between how men view their experience at a law firm versus women.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. So, this is specifically about law firm policies. Is gender diversity widely acknowledged as a firm priority? So women said 54% yes. Men said 88% yes. Okay.
Okay.
So I know, I'm not going to even comment. I just think that's fine. Has the firm succeeded in promoting women into leadership? Women, 55% said yes. 84% of men said yes.
Of course they think that. Oh my gosh. Okay. We can't be totally man-hating, but this is just painting that picture.
I know, we're not the man-hating club. I mean, maybe we are, but also like this is the data and all of you love data and you know,
it speaks for itself.
We're sharing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Has the firm succeeded in promoting women into equity partnership? 48% of women said yes. 79% of men said yes. Okay. And the last one about law firm policies. Has the firm successfully retained experienced women? 47% of women said yes. 74% of men said yes.
Interesting. So in those statistics, I feel like the most interesting thing to me is how high the women voted yes. I kind of expected it to be a little lower, but I mean,
I expected it to be lower, but it almost surprised me how much more the men voted yes, because that means that they think that these firms are implementing
We're great.
All these things, but the women are not seeing it as much as the guys are. They're like, wait, what do you mean they're about promoting women to leadership? Like,
no, we're not.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so further, the survey revealed that half of all female lawyers said they experienced unwanted sexual conduct at work.
Ew.
And one in four women said that they avoided reporting sexual harassment due to fear of retaliation.
Oh.
And then one in six lawyers, female lawyers, 16%, said that they lost work opportunities as a result of rebuffing sexual advances.
Wow. 16%.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ugh. So that's just a little tidbit, some juicy tidbit, because we have a little bit more. But
wow, that's,
I just want you guys to like take this all in and just like think about it. If you're a girl right now and you're ready to go into the law firm's world, like think about these things when you're going in there. Think about
where
like,
you're gonna work.
The people you're working with. Look around you. Like we said, like go on the firm website, look at the attorneys and see if you are seeing those women in the leadership position. Job satisfaction. So for compensation, 61% of women said that they were satisfied. 75% of men said they were satisfied. For recognition of work.
Oh, God.
50% of women said they were recognized for their work.
Okay.
71% of men were recognized for their work.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Okay, women also said that caretaking commitments are the number one reason that they leave law firms, 58%. So that's the number one reason that they're leaving. Stress at work is 54%. And then the emphasis on marketing or originating business, so like your book of business, 51% leave because of that.
Interesting.
And interesting. I'm wondering if that's like because maybe the firms don't, like maybe have a lack of support in building a book of business, you know what I mean? Like, I think that can be a lot of different.
You know what I think too? I think it kind of ties into the caretaking. It's this idea that they can't separate work and life because they have to go home at night. They can't go to dinner with some Fortune 500 company CEO and schmooze and
and booze to get them to sign with them. You know what I mean? I feel like that might be...
I mean, and you could, but really the only people that are going to be able to do that are people that are in those very bougie law jobs where you can like get a nanny and stuff. Like, but that's not the majority of law jobs. Like, and I know a lot of people may have the rose colored glasses on when they go into law school thinking like, oh my God, I'm going to work at a M100 and I'm going to make $1 million. Like, it's not like that for almost everybody. Yeah. It's a very small portion. Mm-hmm. So just keep that in mind too. Yeah, you know, with totally. These stats. Okay. And this is the last little bit. And I thought that this was, I was just shook reading these.
Oh God. So, okay.
Okay. So these are just everyday experiences because of gender.
Okay.
So it's same thing, like yes, no, whatever. Men and women. So missed out on a desirable assignment. 48% of women said they had, and only 11% of men said they had.
11%?
It gets even more. You're going to be shook.
I'll
by
be quiet till the end.
You're going to be shook. Been denied a salary increase or bonus. 54% of women said yes. 4% of men said yes.
Oh my God.
It gets worse. Okay. Okay, been denied or overlooked for advancement or promotion. Mm-hmm. 53% of women, and then 7% of men said yes.
Mm-hmm.
Been perceived as less committed to your career.
Oh.
63% of women said yes. 2% of men said yes.
That's the problem. And that's the problem right there.
And and it's going to get even more. Like I'm saying, you're going to be shook. Okay. Experienced a lack of access to business develop opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
67% of women said yes, and 10% of men said yes. Experienced demeaning comments, stories, or jokes. 75% of women said yes, and 8% of men said yes. And this is the last one. Been mistaken for a lower level employee. 82% of women said yes. 0% of men said yes.
And that, my friends, paints the picture. It paints the picture of how women are viewed in this field and how we're fighting systemic societal ideology of what women should do, should be, and how they should be in the home versus how they should be in work. And also the business development statistic that you read, 67% of women don't feel like they are adequately. So how can they grow the book of business to become an equity partner? How?
That's what I'm saying. It's like they set you up for failure. Yeah. Like, it's literally like there are no systems in place to help people advance. Of course, like there's outliers where there are friends that have done these things. And like, we're not generalizing. We're just giving you guys the data. Like, don't come after us.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say what you just said though about how, right, there are some firms out there that do. But again, that's the one out of the 10 that we mentioned that do have the female equity partner and do have the programs in place. But there's so much more out there. And obviously, guys, we don't have a fix for this problem right now. We're just talking about it and just kind of, wrapping my brain around it. But there is definitely something that needs to be done and to keep this on the forefront of our mind as we go forward. And as we become leaders and hopefully in equity partners, managing partners in the firms that we hope stay at.
Yeah. And, you know, we're not sharing this to scare anyone or like, you know, be like, oh, why is it even worth to go into the law if I'm going to get treated like shit? You know, you're not going to get treated like shit most of the time. I mean, I want to say most of the time because you probably won't. Like, I don't think it's a super common, like, everyone's getting treated badly, you know? I think that there's just certain situations. And if you're just aware of it, you know, we just want to bring awareness. If you're aware of it, then you can look out for yourself,
yeah.
You know? Like, especially when you guys are doing, like, OCIs mm-hmm. and applying for jobs. Like, I'm telling you.
This is what needs to be.
Just be cognizant.
On the brain. No, absolutely.
Ask these questions.
Yes.
I would ask questions like, you know, like if you're in an interview be like, how many of your female attorneys become equity partners if they've stayed for X amount of years?
When was the last time you had a female manager?
If they say zero?
Question mark. Red flag, red flag, red flag. Yeah, no, absolutely. Good question. And yeah. Wow. I mean, this was some interesting data sometimes some of it makes me really excited and then some of it kind of breaks my heart. But at the same time, yeah, this isn't us trying to fix this problem because this is, you know, I feel like so many times as lawyers, as people in law school, you know, people tell you something and you immediately think, okay, well, how do I fix your problem? And sometimes we just have to take a step back and take it in and just think about it and digest to really know what might be the best way forward. And, you know, as our community, we want us to do this together and we're, you know, all in this together. So that's
exactly
that. I hope that you guys enjoyed this episode and learning a little bit more about what it looks like out there on the legal horizon. And, you know, also too, if you're like looking around in your law class and you're like, wow, there's not a lot of women in here, or there's a ton of us, you know, you can kind of know if that's normal or a little bit more out of the normal. So.
Yeah. And definitely share this episode with your legal gals so they can be aware. I think the more people that know about this, it's
the better,
you know, just like, the better, because then it's in the back of your mind and you can maybe make some change. Because I know that that's really the ultimate thing. We can't obviously do this by ourselves. Mm-hmm. We need a lot of people to move the dial or whatever,
the needle.
You know, the needle.
Yes.
So yeah, share with a friend. Share on your story.
Please.
Share all the stats.
Yeah.
We'll share this link of where we got all this information in our show notes too, if you want to share that article.
Yep.
It's a really great read, and
check it out for yourself. There were a lot of other information on there too. And if you guys want to know more about different areas of that study, let us know. And also let us know what statistic blew your mind the most, you know. We want this to be more conversational. So please let us know what you thought about this episode and the statistics. And we, you know, can't wait to hear from you soon.
Yes. And if you want more content like this, follow our Instagram at the Ladies Who Law Podcast. And of course, go on our website. We have new merch with our new logo out. And just be on the lookout. We are, you know, just getting back into work and all that, but we have some cool things planned. Also, check out our stories because we will be posting some applications for some content creation where you might be able to get paid. So,
and featured on our page.
On that. And featured on TikTok and on Instagram. So if you're like a little mini influencer and you're like, I am so good at making reels, I have an interesting life that I want to share with everybody because I'm so awesome. Let us
yes,
know.
Let us know. All right, guys. Talk to you guys soon.
Bye.